like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Okay, well, this is one that I didn't think we were going to be talking about today, but it's worth talking about it. Kyrie Irving has requested a trade per ESPN.
Demanded
a trade right now. Okay, let's talk about it when we're done with this. Would you? And what would it take? You guys know what I'm talking about. We're talking about championship windows. We've been talking about championship windows all week. But I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to be bones for Kyrie. So just get that out of your brain.
Bones and a draft pick.
Would they do that?
I'm not sure how high Kyrie's value is right now, considering he's Kyrie Irving.
I know.
You have to deal with all of the baggage that comes with it.
I know. Let's talk about it, but I'm out.
LeBron is on the phone, probably.
That's interesting. That's interesting for them.
I saw what Russell Westbrook's name is in trade talks as well.
I saw that as well. Yeah.
Westbrook, KD back together?
Yeah, get them all back.
What's Kevin Durant going to do now?
Is he still hurt?
I don't know.
I don't
know. I haven't heard from him in a while.
I don't know. What is he doing with his life? You know how bad it is to take air out of a football, right? We talked about that earlier this week in honor of Tom Brady retiring. Well, what about when you have the wrong ball altogether? Last night in the Duke-Florida State game, women's, they actually used the men's basketball for the first half of a loss. This came out from the Associated Press. Duke women's head coach Kara Lawson said the teams played with a men's basketball for the first half of a loss to Florida State on Sunday. What happened here? She said this would never happen in a men's game. This would never happen. It's embarrassing for our sport. That's what she said. Well, yeah, it actually would happen. They play with a men's ball all the time in men's basketball.
Okay, boom, that's
roasted.
What they meant.
Didn't one of the players notice it early?
They're normally lighter than the men's ball.
Right.
A little
you could
smaller.
Notice pretty big. It's pretty obvious.
I'd imagine the texture or whatever you call it, the stripes or whatever, are different.
I don't know. And she's blaming it, saying, well, this would never happen. And did they not have any women's basketballs there? Did they load up the wrong bag and then they left it there courtside? You know, when you put it in the little ball holder thingy?
I'd imagine a Division I program would have at least
somewhere
20 balls for each
just lying
team.
Around. Did they just load up the wrong ones, though?
Actually, they're marked.
Surely there's enough.
It says, like, NCAA women's.
That's a weird deal.
Nobody noticed it?
I don't know. Lawson said that throughout the first half, Duke players were complaining about the ball while going 7 for 34 from the field in the opening 20 minutes. They were 12 of 38 in the second half. Florida State made 10 of its 30 shots. She said to have a game like that at the end of the season could be the difference between a seed, between a title. My players don't deserve that, and neither do their players. It's a complete failure, and you can figure out who the people I'm talking about that failed the sport and our players on both teams. But why don't...
Sounds like you're upset about something else.
Right.
Like,
but how do you not know that at the beginning of, like,
the refs
and
the players, they check the balls before the games, right? Like, the ref will take it, make sure it bounces well.
How are you not flipping out 5 seconds into the game? You can notice it right off the bat. It's pretty noticeable.
That's strange.
It really is noticeable. So here's what Lawson, the coach, had to say. We have concluded through our investigation that it was a men's basketball. What kind of investigation are we talking about here? It's a women's basketball. Yeah, Tom, don't call me Tommy Shaw. Correct me if I'm wrong. Or women's basketball is noticeably smaller. than men's. Pretty crazy. Yeah, it's noticeably smaller. Like, no doubt about it.
Like, how it feels weird when you pick it up. Like, this is not the right size.
Yeah. I mean, it's noticeable. How do you not notice that? The ACC said it did a comprehensive review. What are we doing here?
It's the NCAA.
Huh. We're going to have to send this basketball back to the lab. Figure it out.
We got our best guys on it.
Did they? Am I wrong here? Did they change the size of women's basketballs recently where it's a lot closer than I thought? Because in high school, the women's basketballs were obviously different than the men's balls. No question about it. Here's what the ACC said. Following the thorough and objective review process, there was no evidence found to support the claim.
The circumference of the women's basketball is 1 inch less than the men's basketball. This was introduced in 1984.
And it hasn't changed since. Right? So the ACC's coming back saying, no, following the thorough and objective review process, there was no evidence found to support that claim. What? According to the ACC, they did an investigation and they didn't come up with that.
We need an investigation because we're bad.
This isn't air out of a ball. This is an obvious one. It was either a women's ball or a men's ball. And this coach is saying, yeah, that's what happened. We were using a men's ball in the first half. Clearly, they had women's basketballs on hand because they used them in the second half. I'm just trying to read through this. The ACC has instituted a procedural change that the game ball will be brought to the pregame meeting with the captains for approval.
Is that not already happening?
I don't know.
I feel like that's like a mandatory thing at a basketball game.
I thought so. Hey, is the ball regulation size?
You know, the refs are meeting up at the scores table to talk everything out. It's like, hey, here's the ball we're going to use. Okay, bounces well. All right, let's let the captains use it. All right, good. Let's go.
I just thought that was part of it. Like, I could see if she was coming out complaining and saying the rim was lower because that one's not an obvious, like maybe like this much, like a little, again, half an inch lower.
The three-point line is a foot closer.
Somebody painted the lines wrong?
Mm-hmm.
That's bizarre. How do you not know? How do you not know? It's like an obvious thing. And if you're the players, why aren't you right then and there taking it to the coach saying, this is not a women's ball. We're not going to play. And then you take it to the refs and the refs go, you're right. We have to we just watched the Nuggets spend 30 minutes 2 weeks ago trying to adjust their rim because it was off. They had to bring the level out. So they did it. They took the time to fix it. Why didn't you bring this up? And then make sure the game stops until you find a different ball.
I can't imagine. Like, we have a women's game tonight. Let's make sure there's no men's basketballs anywhere. Lock them in the equipment closet.
Right.
And leave it there.
That's bizarre to me, man.
Unless it was like just one ball that got misplaced on the rack, but.
And maybe they used it for like certain sequences of the game, but then they put it back or something. I don't know. That's a bizarre story. Okay, I wanted to get to that one. I still have more. How about Derek Carr? He's not extending the contract trigger date. So that's a good thing for the Raiders. It's like Derek Carr's just a nice guy, I guess. Why? He should do it. Take
He's
advantage
just that
of the Raiders.
Kind of guy. I mean, on one hand, you could say the Raiders are kind of screwing him over. On the other side, you could say maybe his time with them has just run its course. You thought he
or
could be the franchise
like,
guy, and it hasn't just worked out. Not to say that he's not a good quarterback, because he is. But.
He was speaking during the Pro Bowl game skills competition. Are those happening now?
Yeah, they started those last night with the skills and then dodgeball. Players looked like they were having fun.
Carr said that he'll not agree to amend the date by which more than $40 million in guaranteed money kick in, increasing the likelihood that he'll be released by the team. So does that mean he's leaving $40 million on the table?
Sounds like it. No, the Raiders are in kind of a cap situation. Maybe they're trying to clear up space for a certain quarterback out of Wisconsin.
If Aaron Rodgers is on the Raiders team right now, Are they Super Bowl contenders?
With that offense, yeah.
There's weapons
they're
there.
Dangerous.
Dude, there
are
weapons there.
If they
re-sign
Jacobs,
there.
Then yes.
That is a terrifying prospect. They were 6-11. Are they 4 games better with Aaron Rodgers? If you're saying, I've heard people say that Sean Payton is 4 games, 5 games better just right now. The Broncos are going to be 4 or 5 games better. Doesn't a quarterback make the Raiders a 10-11 win team?
Certainly.
I mean, look at this. You just mentioned Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller. Those guys are all coming back, right?
I think Jacobs is up for a contract.
Sign him up.
But it's a running back if you go get one.
Oh, doesn't Rodgers? You said yesterday he doesn't want to go to San Francisco, right?
No, he said at the program, I'm not going to San Fran.
Well.
And we already know the Packers weren't going to trade him to an NFC team.
Right. Well, I mean, San Francisco doesn't. You probably scratch your head and go, why? That's a Super Bowl contender if Rodgers is there. Rodgers is at the point in his life where he's made so much money, he's won so many games, he can choose where he wants to go. He's not really a San Francisco kind of guy, if you know what I mean. You know? He
would fit in Denver for sure.
Would he? He's not a conservative. He's not a liberal. He is something altogether different.
If he came to Denver, he would go get a house in the mountains, and you would only see him for the games.
So that might fit. Yeah, if he just
Vegas,
move out.
Who knows?
I don't know. I still thought that
he might have fun in Vegas.
I thought there was realistic stuff with Tom Brady on that, but then obviously he put that one to bed. Is Tom really done?
I hope so.
He can't do it. It would be the laughing stock if he does it again.
Do you think he retires as a Patriot?
I thought I read Kraft was bringing him back, going to sign a one day thing for him. Yeah, so I think he does. What did he do? 3 years with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
The first year they won the Super Bowl. Second year did they make it to the NFC Championship? Was that when they got knocked out?
Divisional against the Rams.
Okay. And then they lost to the Cowboys.
Yep.
In the first round. Do you think he even does like I'm retiring as like what Manning did? Manning retired as both. Brady doesn't do
that.
Does he? I mean, if you think about it, he
but
did.
Also,
about
what
the
is
same.
That relationship like with New England?
I don't know. With New England, I think.
Would he want to go back just for a day?
I think so. They love him, and the fan base loves Tom Brady. I don't think that there was any break up there. Texts coming in. Let's read a few. Flying Dutchman. Kyrie is a cancer. No flat earthers allowed. If you wanted Kyrie Irving. Oh, I mean, who's better? Let me just ask this. Who's better, Kyrie Irving or Jamal Murray? Right now, today, who's better?
Jamal.
Is he really?
Yeah. Kyrie is good, but I don't think he's not as good as he was back in like 2015, 2016.
What's the Nets record right now? Are they any good? I have not been paying attention to the Nets. Honestly, there's so much drama surrounding them.
They're 31-20, fourth in the East right now.
See, Kyrie's averaging 27 points per game. He's averaging about 7 rebounds per game and 5 assists per game. I mean, numbers-wise, Angel, he's better. But is Jamal still on his way up? You can't do it. It's just I'm trying to play devil's advocate because, Angel, I desperately want them to win a title. And just before you ask, I mean, it's not going to be, oh, they're trading Bones Island. What about that? It would be more than that. The Nets would want a player, somebody that's going to help them stay kind of where they are right now. I would imagine. They're going to want, and it's going to have to be a good player. Because they're, I mean, dude, as weird as they are, and as Durant being out and Kyrie's issues, they're 31-20. I mean, they're a contender. So that any kind of trade Angel is going to be, we want to stay in the window. This isn't a 20-30 team where it's like, you know what? It's fine. Let's get rid of Kyrie Irving and load up on draft picks. No, they need a player that they can get today. Which is why it would make sense if you're Brooklyn, trade Kyrie Irving. I'm just throwing the proposal out there, so don't freak out. Kyrie Irving for Jamal Murray and Bones Highland. That's what it would be. Because if I'm the Nets, I go, we might not lose that much ground if we can. Because I disagree with you, Angel. I think Kyrie's the better player. Does he fit with Joker? Does he fit this team who's all about having fun? And, oh, I mean, they are. They have a good time. This is a good group. Kyrie would not fit. Skill-wise, if you could just use the skill portion of Kyrie Irving, he would make sense. But I don't think if you're the Nuggets, you sacrifice the chem, because you said it during the break, I think, or maybe to start the segment, is you need to win a championship with Jamal and Joker. They need to stay together. And Jamal is on his way. It seems like he's on his way up. So the answer is no. I'm just throwing it out there. The answer is no. Jamal's averaging about 20 points per game right now, about 6 assists. So that average is going up, too. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris. Angel, it hurts me that you didn't include Papa Bear Bryant, Bobby Boucher, or Jalen. Bobby Boucher? Bobby? Jalen? Jalen Hurts?
I mean, I wouldn't put Jalen over a couple other quarterbacks right now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can't argue. Who might argue
coaches,
with you?
Yeah, Bryant, Saban, Stallings.
You're just doing either, players.
Yeah, I was doing players, but coaches, yeah, even then either Wallace Wade or Frank Thomas.
Yeah. Who's the coaches Mount Rushmore in Colorado, is it? It's George Karl, Mike Shanahan. Is Bednar already there?
He's definitely in the conversation.
And then further, I mean, that's the thing. There hasn't been a ton of coaches. Malone's on his way, unless you fire him like Tanner wants. Baylor, maybe? Rockies back in the day? It's tough because there's not a lot of... Dan Reeves. Dan Reeves should probably be... Dan Reeves, you know what? It's probably Dan Reeves. I would say that he's over. I would say it's Mike Shanahan, George Karl, Dan Reeves. And then that's the question. Is it Don Baylor? Or is Jared Bednar already won a title? He's now got the best winning percentage, right? As far as an Avs coach. That's what it is, man. It's Bednar's already there. And then I think Malone's going to edge somebody out pretty soon. Dan Reeves never won a title. He was head coach of this team when they went to Super Bowls. Shanahan was the guy who got him over the hump. If Malone wins a title, doesn't he put himself over Dan Reeves?
Would he pass up Carl?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Because Carl's the sixth winningest coach of all time, but a title's a title. Yeah. That's a tough one. Or do you just keep Carl and Malone on there and take Dan Reeves off? Your thoughts. 24 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. 405 says McCartney, if you include college. Let's include college. Let's go. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Sean Payton, it is. Are we feeling Broncos country? Hear team talk and coverage every day in Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. If you want to buy-
Go. That's very good. You just in this mood, huh?
Feeling a little 80s throwback.
I like it. I think it's great.
Play some volleyball on the beach.
That's what it makes me want to do.
Sweating.
Oh, yeah. Sweating. Get your little sunscreen on your nose there. That's what we'll be doing right before the Monday night basketball game.
That'll be fun.
Because it's beach day. Are we really doing shorts?
Probably not shorts. We're supposed to get a storm or something on Sunday night.
So are you wearing sandals?
I could maybe socks and sandals because it's going to be cold.
Man, that sucked last night. UNC came, they were close.
They were really battling the entire game.
Yeah. Every time it felt like Montana was going to pull away, the Bears kept fighting and ended up losing by two. They had a chance late. But
yeah, Matt Johnson probably got fouled on the three, but who's to say?
That was a bummer.
But they're right there.
They are.
You can't knock them for their effort or, you know, their ability to just stay in games. Coach Smiley was talking about it with Jerry yesterday, but it's the little things that they're not getting correct. It's, you know, bad pass or the offense isn't getting set up or sometimes they're kind of forcing shots sometimes. But I still think they can do, if they can put together a good stretch here in the last eight games or so, going into the tournament with some momentum, you still feel good in any three-day stretch.
Dalton Connect, it's funny, he had 17, but it's like, oh, he came back down to earth. 17 still
was
a really good game.
I was too off from Dalen.
He had 18. Yeah. Matt Johnson couldn't get going for a while, but he ended up with 10. The problem, Angel, and this is scary for next year, is there's just not a lot of help outside of those three. Theo Hughes had a nice game, you know, 9 boards and 8 points or whatever, but there's just not a lot of point production coming from anybody else.
No, you'd like some of your guys like Caleb Shaw hasn't, he didn't really show up a lot last night.
He only played 2 minutes.
Langston Reynolds getting more minutes. He's still kind of finding himself in terms of, you know, transitioning from the high school game. I think Brock Wisney has been the most consistent freshman. He's really fighting for boards. Connor Creech, he's not going to put up a bunch of points, but his energy is always there. Every time there's a good play, bad play, whatever, he's always clapping, getting his guys together.
And yeah, he's just one of
those
guys.
He brings that energy.
That's what's scary for next season, though. Because what did Jerry, was it Jerry told us yesterday that he felt 50-50 on Dalton coming back? But Dalen's gone and Matt's gone. So your big three is breaking up no matter what. You really got to hope Dalton Connect stays, but who knows what he decides to do. He can't transfer again, can he? Or can he?
Did he already transfer once?
Yeah, I think so. Well, he came from a JUCO school.
Ooh,
does that change? Can you transfer from D1 from a D1 to another D1 again? Even though he just transferred from a JUCO school to UNC?
I'm not sure. I could see him doing something similar to what Dalen did last year, where he puts his name in the draft just to get an evaluation. If he likes it, he'll go. If he doesn't, he might stay. He's the Big Sky points leader right now. So you're definitely going to get your name out there, and scouts are looking at you.
Yeah. But that's going to be a challenge for Smiley next year. I mean, you're going to have to load up. You're going to have to hope these Langston Reynolds guys and Shaws can take over and be the future of your team. But you're right on this team, dude. It does feel like they could potentially, like, I think that they have a better chance of winning the Big Sky Conference tournament than I do CSU has of doing much of anything in the Mountain West Conference tournament. I could see UNC getting hot. That's the thing. They're going to need to have all three of those guys playing at a very high level.
Yeah, and I think Dalton and Dalen, like, Dalen has certainly come back up from where he was earlier in the season. He's getting out of that slump a little bit, and maybe sometimes it feels like he's still pressing a little bit, especially around the rim. But Matt's shot is just, he can't get it to fall, and his release and stuff is so quick, and he likes to take that top of the key three, where he normally hits those all the time, and they're just not falling for him. And, you know, props to him for keeping his head in the game, and we've talked about it with Dalen staying dialed in on the defensive side, but you got to have your big three get 15 at least.
33 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out quickly and we'll get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Oh,
include college in this Mount Rushmore discussion we're having, then yeah, McCartney would be there. And then I think Sonny Lubick should probably be up there. So maybe does McCartney and Lubick get up there with Mike Shanahan and George Karl? Or Jared Bednar is over, but I don't know. That's an interesting one. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Did you see D'Amico Ryan's kind of his tweet yesterday? He said, we're thankful for the Broncos. It wasn't a difficult decision to come to H-Town. It was very easy. Is that a dig, or is it more of, it's my hometown. It's where my family lives. Some people take it as a dig. I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's a big deal.
No.
Who are they looking at for defensive coordinator now, dude? I mean, the names are filling up here.
Yes. So the Broncos have requested an interview with Brian Flores, Steelers linebacker coach, as well as Seattle head coach assistant and DC Sean Desai, who was, according to Mike Kliss, recommended by Fangio.
Hmm.
And Desai worked under Fangio for about 4 years back in Chicago when Fangio was there.
Very interesting. And then I heard Mark Schlereth, former Bronco, does radio work. He's an analyst, too, on Fox. I heard Mark Schlereth might put his name in the hat, or there's interest for him to be the offensive line coach. Yeah, before that. I'd be good with that. Schlereth might want to move up into coaching. How about that? That might be a path for him to be a head coach. Do a Steve Kerr kind of route. Be an analyst. And then go into coaching.
Is Evero an option anymore?
It doesn't sound like it. The fact that they are talking to all these guys, dude. They were supposed to meet today. Was that right? Is that what Zach told us? That Peyton and Evero were supposed to meet today? It doesn't look good right now with all these other names coming in. That's the tough part. What are they going to do with their defense for their defensive coordinator?
How similar was Evero's defense to Fangio's?
I mean, in terms of scheme? That's a good question, because it seemed like Evero picked up where Fangio left off. There wasn't a big mix or a big change. And so, I mean, as far as what they ran and stuff, they were a base 3-4. And I think Fangio's defense was still a base 3-4. So as far as that goes, Fangio's defense, you know, definitely like physical corners that could tackle. That was a big thing for him.
Pass rushers.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty aggressive. Fangio just seemed like he knew how to get the best out of his defensive backs and safeties. Seemed like that was kind of what Evero had, too. Evero got the best out of his linebackers, though. That was the best I've seen the Broncos play middle linebacker outside of the Danny Trevathan days.
He almost had to.
Yeah. They had to. Yeah, no question. That's a good question. They're pretty close, pretty similar, I suppose.
If you change your scheme, you got to get players that fit that scheme. How many guys from this team can fit into that? Do you target different people in free agency?
Did the Saints run? I can't remember what the Saints did defensively under Sean Payton. Were they a 3-4? That's going to be... that's a question I have overall with Sean Payton, too, is like, how much of what he did in New Orleans is he just going to try to copy and paste in Denver? Because I'm telling you, I know that people are drawing the comparisons of Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. Brees was more of a pocket passer. They did rollouts and stuff, but Brees was more, he could stay in the pocket. He could live there for a while. With Russ, they're going to have to design a lot of rollouts. It's going to have to be that style of offense that we saw in Seattle. I'm just curious to see, like, does Sean Payton look for those guys that made it work? Does he look for a Darren Sproles type running back, those kind of guys that come in and fit? Or does he look at Russell Wilson? Does he look at these guys that he has right now and say, okay, I have to adapt to my roster?
So the Saints recently parted ways with their co-defensive coordinator, Chris Richard.
Okay.
Do you think that's a name that Peyton would bring in?
Maybe. If he had him under him, then I would imagine all those guys that were on his staff before he left New Orleans, unless they had a falling out of any kind, I would imagine they're all in the running, which is a bad sign for guys like Ejiro Evero, which is a bummer because I'm pretty high on this guy. But, and again, the rule is he can't leave on his own to go take a lateral job. He can leave on his own to be a head coach if the Colts or the Cardinals wanted him. But couldn't. But if Sean Payton doesn't bring him back, then obviously he's free to go and do whatever he wants.
Now on the offensive side of the ball, would you want Payton to call plays, or would you want an OC to do that?
It sounds like Payton's going to call the plays. Would I want? Yeah, I'd want him to just take over and do that because he's not going to have the issues that Hackett had. He's not going to have, oh, I'm taking too long to call a play. Now it's 4 seconds left in the clock. So that's going to be one of those cases where the offensive coordinator doesn't matter. It's going to be
quarterback's coach would be the more important hire.
Right. So it's not that attractive of a job either. Probably doesn't pay as much because you're going to be.
And when you got to see what this offense eventually looks like after free agency in the draft.
Yeah, because there's still a lot of questions surrounding this team, man. Like, what are you doing with your offensive line? The biggest question is Garrett Bowles coming back? Is Dalton Reisner? Garrett Bowles is under contract, so if it's up to him, he'll be back. But I think the phrase is he's $10 million underwater, which means that it would actually not cost the Broncos any money to release him. They're not trading him for anything. Dalton Reisner is a free agent. That's a big question. What about Latavius Murray? Surely they're going to get, for now it's like gonna happen because before Sean Payton, I think they were high on him because he came out of nowhere and he did pretty good. But that's Sean Payton's guy. That's one of his guys. He played with New Orleans. Was decent there, right? Those were some of his best years, weren't they?
Yeah, him and when Ingram was out, they brought Murray in with Kamara, kind of that 1-2 punch. Get your receivers back. Do you go look at a tight end in free agency or the draft?
Yeah. Tight end. I mean, the Dulcich thing just didn't work out this year. Albert O, who is kind of a freak of nature athletically, they forgot he was on the team.
You could find like a Jimmy Graham type back with the Saints.
Wouldn't that be something? Well, let's take a look at New Orleans. When was the last year for Peyton? Was it 2021? 2020 was his last year? I'm just trying to think of some of their best years and what that offense really looked like. Who were the you mentioned Jimmy Graham and those kind of guys. You know, they were really good in 2020. So Peyton was still there, right? They went to the playoffs. So when you just look at those years, they had a lot of those kind of guys where, you know, again, Alvin Kamara catching out of the backfield. They used Taysom Hill in a lot of different ways. Who's your Alvin Kamara for Denver? You don't have that guy. Javonte Williams is a really good running back, but we haven't seen him be a pass catcher like Alvin Kamara was. I mean, Alvin Kamara in 2020, 107 catches as a running back. What else did they kind of have as far as Michael Thomas? Who's the Michael Thomas on this team?
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, you brought in Emmanuel Sanders. I remember that. Oh, Jared Cook.
Yeah.
So they need a good tight end. You're right on going out and trying to get a tight end. That's going to be something that I think is important, which is also weird, right? Because Russell Wilson, save for the one time when they got Jimmy Graham, he didn't utilize a tight end that well. He wasn't very good at getting it to the tight end. I don't know why, but that wasn't something that Russell Wilson really favored. So does that change too? I thought that might change this season. I was excited to see what Greg Dulcich could do, but it just didn't work out. His rookie year, he was hurt a lot. When he had his moments where he looked pretty good, but Right now, yeah, the offensive line's a big weakness. Tight end is an unknown. Can Dulcich step up? 12:48 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
A couple names thrown out for a potential Bones Highland trade. We talked about Jay Crowder yesterday. Minnesota, with their situation, Naz Reid maybe. D'Angelo Russell's name is being thrown out there with the Timberwolves. The Mavericks have been kind of put in this mix here as far as what they might have some interest. I don't know what they would give. I've heard Toronto, Dallas, Phoenix, and Minnesota. Those are some of the teams.
Chicago?
Maybe. Because like Toronto, they're in this position where Phoenix is. They're looking for a successor for their point guard. Toronto's looking for their successor for Fred Van Fleet. We're already at that point. Because they think he's going to leave. They think they might trade him or give him up. He'll leave in free agency in the near future. What is that guy's Precious? How do you say his name? Precious Achiuwa for Toronto?
I think so.
That's a name.
Is Siakam still playing?
Yeah, where is he? I don't know where he is or what he's done. Isn't he hurt? It's a foregone conclusion now.
He's still on the Raptors.
He is. Okay. Is he hurt right now? He was a guy that
active,
I always kind of liked.
Averaging 25 points a game almost. I always liked Siakam. He was great in that finals run.
That run, he was so good. Yeah, I'm just looking around at guys. Because it's going to happen. I mean, they are going to. He didn't play at all last night, did he? Bones didn't get any minutes, did he?
No. It was kind of cool. I did see a little pregame video that the Nuggets posted where Bones was, throwing like a pitcher with the basketball, smile on his face. You're not gonna take that smile away from Bones, and that's what I love about him is his personality is gonna stay the same. I don't believe this locker room cancer thing. I can't imagine a player with that personality being toxic in a locker room. If it's a frustration with playing time, that's one thing, and that's a conversation you have with the coach. But he seems like a team guy, and I think the players like him.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they all seem to like each other, there seem to be a pretty good group.
Mom Marie said there's like 8 of them that play Call of Duty together.
I think they're doing stuff like that. Yeah, they do stuff like that. Well, Gordon at the end of the offseason invited them all over to come play paintball. Like that kind of stuff. That's why the idea of Kyrie Irving and stuff, take the X's and O's out of it, because this is like one of the best Nuggets teams we're seeing right now. Take that out of it, though. The chemistry is so good. Malone has worked so hard with this chemistry. That's one of the reasons you don't even really consider a big trade. Bones hasn't been with this group long enough to be a monster part of it. And it's not a Calvin Booth. He's not a Calvin Booth guy. And if you can get a better player. You said something during the break about Christian Brown. You're not ready to go all in trust in this guy. He's not great right now. He's just kind of a sound, hardworking player.
Yeah, and I give him the credit for that. I think he shows a lot of promise as a rookie, and I think that's due to his experience in Kansas and playing there for so long. My concern with the bench is just, are you going to be a defensive-focused bench, or are you going to be a scoring bench?
Yeah.
Because you can only have
one. You need some more scoring. I mean, Bruce Brown is nice coming off the bench.
But he was the only one in positive last
night. He's the only one. Zeke Nagy's is not doing it, man. I don't know.
Do you package him?
I don't know. There's not a lot of value there, though. Unless you can increase the value with a Bones trade and put him in the mix, but you better make darn sure you get a backup big man. Because DeAndre Jordan is not going to cut it, man.
What are your thoughts on Sean Shore?
He surprised the hell out of me.
He got the start last
night. Gets the start. Gordon's surprisingly out or whatever.
I think he'll be out for until after the break.
Chauncher's been so, like, what do you have, 17 points? His shooting is just getting better. He could be a big difference maker, especially when you get your lineup back and him coming off the bench.
I think his passing ability is very underrated.
Yeah. He's an underrated player right now, probably even by Nuggets media. Because he doesn't do anything that flashy, but he's a pretty damn good shot. He might be one of their better. Obviously, Porter's their best shooter. He's becoming one of their better shooters. He might be a better shooter than Jamal right now, wouldn't you say? I mean, he was 3 of 4 from the 3-point line. Jamal was 3 of 11. He's damn sure shooting them, man. Wow, he had 33 though.
Jamal's feeling it.
His confidence level is through the roof. It's
no words.
Right
in
now.
His own words. Yeah. No words.
He's dialed in. He is absolutely dialed in. He's thinking a championship. He is there. That's what this group's thinking of. You got the Joker wearing these suits. He just looks like he's ready for business. They're ready for work.
The last two suits he's worn, like the brown, the all brown the other day, and then the black suit last night.
Looks good.
Who is his stylist?
I don't know, but he looks like, I tweeted out Katie Wingy's tweet. It's like, have a particular set of skills. That's what he looks like.
He never wears the same thing twice.
No! Must be great. What's Tanner saying? Must be nice. Nuggets win. They beat Golden State 134-117. More whole show coming up next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.